Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. I must have said that wrong. You know, the other day, I don't know if any of you guys say, I put out a blooper video of myself. It was pretty comical, I must say.
I haven't seen that yet.
I said, instead of the gal who cares for the caregivers, I said I was the cow who cares for the
Okay, that's a little exaggerated.
Because, you know, I do a bunch of Tuesday tips in one shot. You know, and then put them up every week. And I don't know what it was, but I kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And every time I do a tip, I change my shirt so people don't think I only have one shirt, you know?
And, the tricks of the trade.
And at the end, I go to her, oh my God, you could probably just make a blooper video out of today. Whoa, and like 3 hours later, she sends me an entire blooper video, so... But it is good to have a laugh.
Is that on the webpage somewhere? How do we find that?
She sent it to me.
My Facebook page. I'll send it to you.
Okay, great.
Everybody said they had a good laugh, and you know what? That's part of my purpose in life is entertaining people. So hi, Ed. So glad to be here today.
And what is today?
Today is the 7-year anniversary of Connecting Caregivers Radio.
Oh my God, this is an anniversary edition?
7 years.
Can you imagine if we could go, wait a minute, can we go back to 7 years?
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Let's check the singing on the first show.
Yeah, I didn't sing that.
Around the world today.
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness.
Hold on. Well, you had applause there.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Connecting Caregivers on the TAN Talk Network, where you can find help and hope with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers.
There you go.
So, yeah, I can't believe it. I got an email this morning. It was really cool. From a listener, a caregiver, and she said, happy anniversary. She said, I remember your very first show. She said, and I try to tune in every week, but the cool thing is, if I can't tune in every week, I know I can go to your website and hear the show later, or I can go to YouTube or wherever. So, it's cool. It's real. I never thought it would even last this long, but it's cool.
Yeah. It's nice to hear yourself 7 years ago. Yeah. I did that on Patsy without her knowing.
Yeah.
And the first show, she was like, oh, hello. You know, first you get that hello, how are you, and you got nothing else to say after that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I think I have it down pat now, though.
You got this. Yeah, 100%.
So I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Jack in St. Pete, Michaela in Largo, and Cece in Pennsylvania. And if Lynn was here, she'd say welcome. And so I'm welcoming you here, and unfortunately,
welcome.
Lynn is not here today.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Doing Lynn's bit. Welcome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're very good at that, Sean.
Been practicing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Lynn's unable to be here today. She's in a caregiving experience with her friend who is going through some pretty serious issues. So please keep her in your prayers. And the welcome voice that we just heard was Attorney Sean Scott. Welcome, Sean.
Hey, thanks.
I'm happy you're here today. And my friend Donna Caesar from Arden Courts.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon. Oops, I'm still on morning time. We're in trouble.
Sometimes I still think the show's on Saturday, so don't feel bad. So we have a great, great guest today, Dr. Peter Ravens. Do we have him on the line?
Yeah.
Welcome, doctor.
Thank you.
How are you today?
Today's a great day, so really good.
Yeah. So I'm so good that you're with us today. Many of our listeners, I'm sure, know Dr. Ravens as the author of the best-selling book, The 36-Hour Day, which is like the Bible for caregivers. All the 15 years I've been doing caregiving, everybody talks about that book. But you've come out with a new book. Is it Alzheimer's 101? Answers to your most pressing questions about memory loss and dementia. And I have to tell you, doctor, I am loving this book. Loving this book.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I am so happy. So I want to talk to you a little bit today about, we've talked about some questions, is what is the actual difference between dementia and Alzheimer's disease?
First, that's a great place to start because I know many people are confused about that. Dementia is a very general medical term that refers to any disease that starts in adulthood and impairs how somebody is thinking. So you can imagine there are more than 100 illnesses that can cause dementia.
Right.
Alzheimer's disease is a specific cause, so it's one of the 100 or so causes, and it's really defined by specific changes in the brain and by a certain pattern of symptoms that develop over time.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I say to my caregivers, I say, dementia is ice cream and Alzheimer's is a flavor.
Perfect, yeah. You got it just right.
Because although there's so many different types of dementia, there are different characteristics. They're different. They're not all the same. It's just like if I went to the doctor and the doctor said I had cancer, well, I want to know what kind of cancer. Is it, you know, lung cancer, breast cancer? What can we do about that?
I think you're right. Number one, the treatments may be different, but also the symptom patterns are different. And so when people are thinking about how to improve their situation, having an exact diagnosis, if that's possible, really helps you focus on, well, what are the Alzheimer's symptoms? What are the symptoms induced by the environment or medication or right. other things? So I do think trying to get as exact a diagnosis as possible is important, but it isn't always possible to be sure.
So does undergoing a medical evaluation necessary?
I think it is at the beginning. First, about 1 or 2% of people turn out to have a treatable disease or condition. It might be medication. It might be their thyroid gland or a vitamin B12 deficiency. There are a whole variety of things that can cause thinking impairment. So you want to start with a good general medical assessment just to make sure none of those are present, even though they're rare causes of dementia.
But unfortunately, the sad thing to say is many people don't address it until it's already in the works.
I think that's really the norm, and part of that's the disease itself, because you know, especially if you're living with another person who's sort of helping you, they may not notice that you're having trouble remembering new things, like who's getting married this weekend or we're going to the doctor next
right.
week. Because your old memories from the distant past are still pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to miss it at the beginning.
Well, and nobody wants a diagnosis.
That's so, true, too.
So you know, even when you start realizing it many times, you still don't do anything about it.
Yeah. You know, that used to be true for cancer. You mentioned, you know, getting a specific yeah. cancer diagnosis. Believe it or not, 60 or 70 years ago, most doctors thought you shouldn't even tell the patient they had cancer because nothing could be done. And, of course, we know now that wow. there's very specific treatments. So yeah. hopefully that's going to happen with Alzheimer's, too.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge shift because now I know more people that are cancer-free than people that have cancer.
Yep.
And there was a certain, years ago, I knew a lot of people that had cancer, and then it was the end. No, now I know a ton of people that are cancer-free.
Right, exactly. And I think having an accurate diagnosis as well, it's not always Alzheimer's. It may be something else that has a different treatment or different regime and a different outcome.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
That's true. And, you know, the other reason to try to get a diagnosis specific as possible is because things start happening that don't make sense. Somebody argues more or they get lost.
Right.
And we tend to blame other people when things go wrong. So at least knowing that it's from a medical disease, it's not something they're doing on purpose to frustrate us, yeah. I think that's a very important reason to get an accurate diagnosis.
Yeah, because once you can understand it, I always say when you learn more, you know more, you do better. Because if you don't have any idea about how the brain changes and what's going on, how the behaviors changes,
right.
you can find yourself in a pickle.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, that's really the beginning of our writing the 36-hour day 45 years ago.
Wow.
That was the central idea. If we can inform people, that will help them along the way. So I totally agree with you.
Well, the whole thing is bringing education, letting caregivers know that they're not alone, and just learning. Because once you learn something, your whole caregiving experience can change.
and quickly.
Absolutely.
You know, I always say it can be the worst experience of your life, or it can be close to beautiful, depending on how you handle it.
I fully agree.
So, how can I get help with my loved one's main symptoms, Doc?
So, I think it depends on what the symptoms are. So, I think starting by getting a diagnosis and being medically evaluated, that's important. You want to make sure that whatever other medical problems a person is having, that they're maximally treated, because other physical diseases can impair thinking or make the Alzheimer's worse. So that's the place to start. Then I think the second is, where do you go for information? And there's the Alzheimer's Association, there are other support organizations, mm-hmm. the Area Agency on Aging, yes. books like the 36-Hour Day. So you can, get information about the condition. I think you want to be very specific in identifying what are the problems you're facing, because each person is unique, of course, and the disease is different in everyone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you do want to ask yourself, what are the problems I'm facing? So when you do find someone who's able to help, you can help them focus on what do you need help with.
Right. Right. So where can people find help for themselves as a caregiver, besides my radio show and everything else?
Yes, I should have mentioned that as a great resource for people. Yeah. And I think that's so important what you're doing. I think, again, first, recognize that for many people it's an emotional struggle.
Yeah.
As well as sort of a physical struggle of caring for another person. Just recognizing that is important. So talking with friends, clergy, other people, keeping it a secret, I think, is a big mistake.
Yes.
There are privacy issues, but not having to bottle all that in, I think, is important. I think for many, many people, support groups are a great source, both of information and emotional support. Hearing that someone else is struggling with similar issues, or that somebody was struggling and has figured out a way solve them, that can be really helpful both emotionally and in making life better. So that's a real source of emotional support.
Knowing that you're not alone. A couple of months ago I was in my mail room and there were two women in there I didn't know, and one opened up her mailbox and it was so stuffed all the mail fell out on the floor and she started crying, and I'm like, it's only mail. Let me help you pick
it
up.
It's only bills, don't worry about it.
And she's like, my husband has dementia. I can't even get to the mailbox anymore. I can't even get to the mailbox. And the other lady in the room says, oh, my husband has dementia too. And I was like, you know what? You girls need to be friends, and you need to be friends with me.
The mailroom support group.
Yes.
Impromptu, just kind of.
But now I see them walking around the complex together with their husbands. Oh,
awesome.
Yeah, I think that's great. And, and probably you suggest, how about if we get each other's mail, and so you only have to go twice as often.
Yeah.
There are practical things that you can do that help. They don't take away the emotional struggle, but they sure can help lessen it. And again, I think one of the great things about your radio show is that people realize, as you said, they're not alone, and that there is good information available. I think that's so important. We don't have cures, but we really have learned in the last 50 years how to help people cope much better with this.
Well, 15 years ago when I started doing this, people didn't even identify themselves as caregivers. I can't imagine 45 years ago when you wrote the book. It's hard to help people when they don't even know they need help.
Yes, and I would say, when the book was first written, most doctors and nurses hadn't heard of Alzheimer's disease. Now it'd be almost impossible to find an adult in America who hadn't heard of it and probably been touched in their family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it really has changed a lot, again, in a positive way of providing help for people who are involved.
So, Doc, what about this new medication for Alzheimer's? What do you think about this?
Well, to me, it's an extremely exciting major breakthrough. I sort of liken it to the way cancer therapy was back around 1960. Where medications were just being developed, and there was some hope, that a specific treatment would come about for certain kinds of cancer. So The one that's been approved and another one will likely be approved in the next few weeks, people are saying these drugs work by taking an abnormal protein and removing it from the brain. Hmm. So they really do address what we think is one of the causative aspects of it. So that's a huge advance.
Yeah.
And I think that we're only going to go from here and find other drugs that are better. Maybe it will be like cancer where you have to take 2, 3, or 4 medications, mm-hmm. each of which does something slightly different. I think also now that we are able to identify these abnormal proteins that are in the brain, either through a blood test, a spinal fluid test, or a brain x-ray imaging test, we're going to be able to discover the disease earlier and earlier, mm-hmm. and I think hopefully that will also make a difference. So I think first point is these medicines and the Leqembi, the one that's been approved already, it's a major advance. I think the second thing about it, though, is that they're really only modestly effective. They do improve people as a group a little bit, but that improvement is only about 6 months of improvement. So if somebody were to start on the medicine now, March 1st, and have a response, which is about a third or half of people, they'd be like they were in September. And I think most people say, gee, my husband wasn't all that different in September. So it's a modest benefit.
Right.
And interestingly enough, we don't know, is that benefit going to continue? That is, will it continue to improve? Will it keep you where you were so you don't get any worse?
Right, or is it just a temporary fix?
Is it a Band-Aid?
But it's most likely still that it modestly fixes things, but it doesn't stop the disease from progressing. But we don't know that yet, and it's possible that it could stop it in its tracks. So it's a great start. And the other issue is that these medicines have really significant side effects.
Yeah.
So about 20% of people have changes in their brain that are bad, not good. Either very, very small strokes or spots in the brain that we think are inflammation and could make things worse.
Right.
So those people have to be stopped. The medicine has to be stopped.
Well,
so it's complicated.
Yeah, it's all complicated. It's been so fabulous speaking with you today, Doc. I really appreciate you calling in. You're going to be in town on March 14th. I look forward to meeting you then.
And this is Dawn.
Great.
And Dr.
I
Ravens.
Hope your listeners will come out and hear me, because people have lots of questions. You've asked some great ones. There are a bunch of other ones, and I hope people will come out so that I can answer whatever questions they have.
And this is Donna, Dr. Ravens, with Arden Courts. We are so looking forward to having you in town. It's been quite a while. So see you on the 14th.
Thanks, Donna. Thanks for inviting me, and I look forward to seeing you, too.
Thanks, Doc. Have a delicious day.
All right. You, too. Great to talk to you, Lena. Bye-bye.
Great. So, Donna, the event is March 14th. Give us all the details.
So, Dr. Ravens will be in town March 14th. He will speak from 10:30 till about 12:30, and then we'll provide some lunch for everybody. The event is being held at 3166 North McMullen Booth Road in Clearwater. That is Bethel Lutheran Church. Please, we expect a large turnout for this. The RSVPs are coming in.
Yep.
So the sooner you can RSVP to either Mary Ann Fisher at 727-771-1600 or to myself, Donna Caesar, at Arden Court Seminole, 727-517-7800. That will ensure that we have everything you need.
Yeah.
And that you can actually come and get all your answers.
And Donna, perfect. Can I RSVP right now?
Yes, you can.
Okay, yes, you can. I have already RSVP'd.
Put me on the guest list, please.
I have already RSVP'd. But, you know, I'm so grateful to Arden Courts for everything they do with bringing speakers and seminars and workshops to our caregivers. In fact, Sean and I will be doing one together in July.
It's going to be fabulous. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fabulous.
Very fabulous. And I am so personally excited to meet Dr. Ravens. So thank you for what you do. And didn't Arden Courts just get some good news recently?
Yes, we did. I am so excited. Arden Courts of Seminole in Seminole, Florida, had our annual or biannual state survey yesterday, and we are deficiency free, and that is a big task at being able to provide loving care and also staying within state guidelines and protocols.
Yeah. It's so, it's a big deal and a great deal.
Yeah, yeah. It is. I am absolutely fabulous. So excited for us. Yeah. They're all celebrating lunch as I'm here talking to you guys. So I'm hoping you'll save my steak for when I get back.
Yeah.
Save my steak. Please don't eat it.
Yeah.
So if you have any questions, you have our numbers. If not, reach out to Linda. She'll get you the contact information she needs.
And I'll put all the information in the show. Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
And now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So we'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help, because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
My mom was getting older, but she was able to live pretty independently until recently. When her case manager told me she would be discharged from rehab in just a few days, I didn't know what to do. But I knew for sure that she couldn't go back living alone at home. So that's when I contacted Sunway's Senior Living Concierge. My Senior Living Concierge, Lisa, was there for me through the whole process and was a free service for us to compare in-home care options and how that cost would compare to assisted living. With Lisa's help, we found a great new home for Mom, and she is thriving. Take it from me, don't go through this journey alone.
Hi, I'm Ellie Baldwin, co-founder and president of Sunway's Senior Living Concierge. We're a free placement and concierge service for families to help compare senior living communities and find the best place for you or a loved one. Call us today at 727-314-6451 or find us online at sunwaysseniorliving.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For sure.
But anyway.
All right, we're live, or what are we doing?
And we are back. I'm sitting here chatting.
Let me do my job and help you help
yes,
other people.
Yeah, if I'm on the air. So, Sean, I'm so glad to have you here today. And as always, listeners, send in questions.
I love questions.
And the first one is a burial plan considered an asset?
That's a great question. You know, when applying for benefits, Medicaid benefits, specifically to help pay for the cost of your care in a home setting, in an assisted living setting, or in a nursing home, Medicaid's going to look at what your assets are, what stuff is. And there's very specific requirements as to how much money you can have. So, well, is it just cash in the bank? Yeah, that's part of it. Well, what about other things? What about my stocks and bonds? Yes. What about my annuities? Yes.
Real estate.
Real estate, yes. All of these things are counted as part of the assets you can have. And here's one little kind of gotcha thing, is that a lot of people think that my prepaid funeral arrangements are not counted as an asset. And that's not true. Initially, they are counted as an asset. So in some weird world that Medicaid lives in,
the amount of money that you paid for that burial plan or that funeral arrangement,
right,
that prepaid type of thing,
right,
is counted against you as an asset. So if you spent $6,000 for this funeral,
right,
plan, that's $6,000 like it's like it's in a bank account.
That's so, so silly.
If you're a single person, don't freak out about the numbers, but the Medicaid, right, says you can have $2,000 or less to be eligible. If you have a $6,000 burial plan, that disqualifies you. That's the bad news. The good news is at the time when we're applying for our benefits, for our clients' benefits, if we see that there's a burial plan like, mm-hmm, that in place, the simple solution is to go down and do an irrevocable assignment of that, basically saying that you can't get your money back from it because it's not, okay, making it kind of non-refundable in a,
right,
sense. And by doing that, that then makes it a zero-valued asset for Medicaid eligibility,
oh,
purposes. So yes, it is a problem. It's a problem that most people don't realize, but it is a simple solution for it.
Yeah. And some people spend $10,000,
oh,
on,
yeah,
that
stuff. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I was using six as to be not too crazy, yes.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I first moved to Florida, I joined a networking group right away, and there was a girl there from a funeral parlor, and every week she would say, funeral costs double at least every 7 years. And yeah, I was young, and I was like, I'm signing up now.
Because I plan to be around, and it's going to be really expensive,
yeah, but,
by the time I die.
But you know what? It was like off the list. I had the money, you know, be, yeah, gone
I
with
understand.
It. But yeah, and I feel better about that, because the day happens that I pass away, my daughter makes one phone call, done.
Yep, and I'm a big proponent of planning that. It's something that's hard for a lot of people to get over that hump necessarily, but I think it's a great thing that you can do for not only yourself, but your family.
It's going to, yeah, happen.
And you can't let me know if you avoid it.
Yeah, figure out another so, way.
Well, let's talk about Dr. Rabin's book for, yeah, half a second. I mean, this has been out for a couple of years, actually. This is the first time that I've seen it, because I'm familiar with the 36-hour day,
yeah,
book as well. And this 101 answers to your questions.
I love it.
Is it Alzheimer's being the first major question? What an absolutely fabulous book. I just bought a dozen copies on Amazon right now that'll be delivered on Monday for my office so I can give some of these away to my clients.
Well, I also believe
fabulous.
The day of the seminar they'll be giving away some free books too.
Great. Maybe I can pick up some free ones.
Yeah, maybe. I'm your friend. I can get one.
Yeah, I can give them away.
I'm lucky. I got one. But yeah, I think it's really fabulous because we need questions answered, and we need, you know, people ask me questions about Alzheimer's and dementia. I am not an expert on any of that. I'm an expert on caregiving. But we have people like Dr. Robbins, and we have people like that we can ask questions.
Absolutely.
And we have people like you,
yep,
Sean,
yep,
that
yep.
can help my caregivers, because nobody knows it all.
I would say probably 50% of my clients are dealing with the Alzheimer's issue.
50%.
It's a huge deal in our community, in our society. And when you have a diagnosis like this, it's kind of a predictable path of where this is going to eventually lead you to a point where your caregiver, your spouse, or your child is probably not going to be able to take care of you through the entire journey.
Right.
And at some point in time, you're going to pivot and you're going to be looking at, okay, well, what about home care? What about assisted living care? What about skilled nursing care? So when we go into those kind of caregiving situations, there's a cost associated with that. And so asking questions in advance is a really good idea, not the least of which is, well, how am I going to pay for this?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then that's kind of where I come into play.
Yeah. Because there's so much that people can do that they don't know about.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
And they make big mistakes.
Absolutely. So today, for example, my first client of the day rolled in, and we're dealing with mom and dad. Dad's 85 years old at home. Mom is... I think she just was placed in a long-term care assisted living setting, like, let's call it Arden Courts, mm-hmm. Which is a good solution for the situation. But now it comes to, what do we do next?
Right.
How are we going to pay for this? What other things should we do? And so when I'm faced with those kinds of situations, the first thing that I tee up and the first thing I want to look at is to make sure that they have a good power of attorney in place so that if the person can't manage their affairs any longer, that we have a backup plan that can.
And that can change overnight.
And it can, absolutely. But if you have and you should all, everybody that's listening should have a power of attorney, absolutely, 100%.
Everybody.
And so in this case, though, they did. They had recently got one about a year ago. And so I had the client email it over to me so that I could take a look and review it. And it was about a page and a half of mistakes that were in there that were wrong, that were fatal mistakes to the document. And so while we still have a little bit of capacity left in mom in this situation, we want to go in and fix that power
right
of attorney
now.
Right now before she loses that capacity to sign the document. And here's the thing is that, this is the horrible part of it, is that many people think that that power of attorney that they have is fine. But it's not fine. Right. And when you find out that it's not fine, it's usually at
it's
too late to fix it because the guy or the girl has lost the capacity to sign the document. So one of the first things, if you get a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease and you're first thing, sometimes we joke about it, on the way home from the neurologist, you should probably stop by our office.
Yeah.
So, because there's things that we need to do. That power of attorney is a huge one. Absolutely hair on fire issue. And in this particular case, client was very typical. Daughter was very nice daughters. And they're like, oh yeah, we took care of all the estate planning. Everything's fine. I'm like, oh, really? Can I ask you a question? Well, who gets all the assets if dad dies first?
We never thought of that.
And she's looking at the will and says, well, everything goes to mom. And I'm like, well, you know, that's a really bad idea.
Right
and this
now.
Is super common because this, nobody ever thinks about
it. Because it was good to go when they wrote it.
It was fine. She was okay when they wrote it. Exactly.
Right.
She didn't have these issues. But from my perspective, if dad dies first, which there's a good chance, and caregiver mortality is more significant than the person being cared for.
Yeah.
67% greater chance of dying than the person you're taking care of.
Yep.
So if husband in this situation were to die first, and that estate plan kicks all those assets over to the wife, it destroys her eligibility for her benefits to pay for her care. Because when now she becomes single, she's only allowed to have $2,000.
Right.
Husband just gave her everything because he loves her so much.
Right. So just flush it in the toilet.
And just flush, well, yeah, exactly. Now it's all subject to loss and risk because you are going to need care. And you're disqualified
for
benefits.
They must have freaked out when you said that to them.
Yeah. She was like, oh
my God.
I never thought of that. I'm like, yeah, I know. That's why you talk to somebody like us.
Well, because you know what? There are some attorneys that do documents, and I hate to say it, they don't really care about their client. They're just like doing the document, getting paid, and being done.
Well, exactly. And not that I don't want to throw lawyers under the bus necessarily, but some people that draft in these documents don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't live in a world where incapacity is a common thing for their clients, and they just kind of apply a generic Band-Aid to this, and it's missing a key amount of features. So, for example, the document I looked today, if I were to grade it from an A to an F, it would have been an F.
Ugh.
It would have failed.
Ugh.
So we're fixing it, but, man, so my big word of advice today is make sure that that power of attorney is up to speed. And the problem is that the client sometimes, or listener, how do you know that it's any good or not?
Right.
I mean, you went to the lawyer, right? And you assume that the lawyer did the right thing for you. And they popped it out, and here it is. It was signed. It was great. Done. So.
And it's so important. It is such an important document. Just have it reviewed.
Yep. Absolutely.
Just have it reviewed.
And by somebody that knows what they're doing. That's the key.
Okay. So, questions. One of the questions that someone sent in is, how do I find a good elder care attorney out of your area?
Out of this area?
Yeah, so you know we have listings all over the place.
Because I know how I can find one if it's in this area. I know exactly how you can find
it's
one.
You, right?
So that's a good question. So in the Florida situation, for example, our office can handle any case anywhere in Florida.
Okay.
So whether you're in Monroe County down in Key West or you're in Tallahassee or anywhere in between,
and they can meet
Pensacola,
with you via Zoom.
The phone call via Zoom, video conferencing. We have clients that we've never met face-to-face, many of them actually. So we can take care of the entire state of Florida. The challenge becomes is when you go across state lines.
Right.
So across state lines, an important point is that every state in the United States has different laws regarding Medicaid. So what can be done here and what your techniques and strategies and ways you can preserve and protect your assets and qualify for benefits and do all of that, that whole world changes as soon as you go across the state line.
Okay.
So in Georgia or New York or Minnesota or California, the laws can be radically different. So you need an elder law attorney in that area. So what there is available to you, you can call our office, obviously, and we have a registry guide from the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys.
Okay.
And what we do is we kind of look through there. We look up the zip code. We look in the area.
Okay.
And we give you three or four different possible places to start, as opposed to just not right, knowing
the yellow
anything,
pages.
Right? Exactly. You can also go to NALA.org, which is the
N-A-L-A?
N-A-E-L-A, National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys.
Okay.
NALA.org. And I think they also have a digital type of thing where you can access things there as well. So.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good.
Pretty good question.
Another question. I have been told my mom will need to go into a nursing home soon. Is it too late to apply for Medicaid?
Oh, my goodness. That's just, I love these. I think I'm going to write a new book. I'm going to all of these questions.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Dr. Rabin's kind of a way
yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Use it as a guide.
As a guide. 101 answers.
To Medicaid.
To Medicaid questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be I'm inspired. I'm going to have to start that book today. So that's a great question, actually. Is it too late? And from my perspective, the answer is it's never too late. So we have clients that we are serving and taking care of that have just found out that they've had a stroke, for example, and now they're in the hospital and are going to be going to the nursing home. The severity of the stroke is likely that they won't be going home, for example.
Right.
Well, that's kind of a, oh my gosh, type of moment.
Right.
What do you do? Is it too late to fix this problem and to make sure that we can afford the cost of this care? And the answer is no, it is not too late. We routinely do that on a daily basis, actually. You know, there's three different kinds of clients that we see. We see clients that are really planning far in advance for this problem.
A few. Yeah,
there's a few, absolutely. Well, yeah. I had one yesterday.
Hopefully more.
And their response was, well, yeah, I know it's early, but Dad would really feel better if we had this taken care of, and he would be less stressed. And so, there is that type of client. Then there's the writing on the wall client. Writing on the wall client is somebody that, for example, that has a diagnosis of Alzheimer's. Maybe they're still at home. Maybe they're still, highly functional. Maybe driving to public still, right? You know, we've seen this. But, we're on the Alzheimer's train. That's an awfully good time to start taking action, okay? Because now there's things that I can do earlier on. I can relieve some of the stress, the strategies and techniques and things that we do to help qualify.
And as you said, you can see the writing on the wall.
And why are we waiting till we get to the station?
Till we
we're
get
on
more
the
stressed.
Train. Exactly, and I can reduce that. And then we have the last category of what I typically call my uh-oh client or the oh my gosh client. Yeah. What do I do now? So it's never too late is the answer, though.
Okay. So it's just good to know that. But we don't want to wait until the end.
Well, I don't think you should, but sometimes you can't predict it. You know?
Right.
So, surprise.
Well, especially if an accident happens
Correct.
Something like that. You don't. No. Oh, here's another one.
You got all those on that one little piece of paper?
Yes. Well, during the week, I get them and I scribble them.
That's great.
I'm still a pen and paper girl in a way. How do I protect my pets? So
pets.
This woman said that she doesn't have children. She has pets.
Yes, I know this client.
And she's leaving some money or whatever to her nieces or whatever, but her nieces don't like pets.
Yep, there's lots of different ways to solve this particular problem. And it is a problem. I mean, if I have no kids, for example, I do, but let's say I don't.
Right.
But I have my poodles. Okay, well, my poodles are now my kids.
Right.
I mean, they serve in that role in so many ways. And if and when I die, I want to make sure that they're okay.
Right.
So depending upon how far down that trail you've gone,
right.
Some people would call it crazy trail, but it's not, we have a response or a solution for it. So sometimes we'll will the dog to or the animal to a particular person. And then sometimes we'll also distribute assets or money to them to help pay for the cost
of
that dog. Yeah. And that's kind of an easy...
But what if they don't have a person?
Well, then you start looking at, trying to create a trust for the benefit of that dog.
A trust for a dog.
Yeah, and I have done this, and cats as well.
Okay.
I haven't done any fish, but dogs and cats, and birds, actually. I've done
really?
A couple of pet trusts for birds because they have a tendency to live longer than the person they're taking care of. Yeah, so...
Yeah, and I will tell you, too, one message. If you're a senior and you want to get a new dog, don't get a puppy. Get a dog that's a little bit older.
Get a senior dog.
Yeah, get a dog that's a little bit older that probably will be at your speed, number one.
And also easier to take care of. Because, boy, taking care of a puppy is like taking care of a newborn.
I'm telling you, I've been going to the chiropractor. I go regularly, and I was like, my shoulder's hurting. I don't understand why it was hurting. Oh, I realized it the other day. It's from the puppy pulling my leash.
Because you have a new puppy.
Yeah. So.
Apparently you're not old.
No, but I don't want to fall down on nothing.
That's funny.
So you have some seminars coming up soon. We have March 5th, Tuesday, 2 p.m. at the Palm Harbor Library, Friday, March 8th, 2:30, Lago Library, and Monday, March 11th, 2 to 4. And what are you going to do there, Sean?
It's a great opportunity to come. You know, we still do things the old-fashioned way. We've been threatening to do this all virtually over the web, and we'll eventually, I'm sure, get to that, but we're still doing it.
There's something about being in person.
I really like that one-on-one thing, but not everybody can get out one-on-one.
Right.
So we'll be doing this virtually eventually, probably within the next 60 days. But I'm still a fan of the old-fashioned way of just getting in front of people, sitting down, talking to you about these issues, giving you my insight.
Because it's such a serious personal thing.
It is. And I also like to be able to take questions in real time and kind of, you know, act as kind of a bridge in your understanding. And I tell you, you come to one of our seminars, you're going to hear things and insights and answers to questions that you literally
didn't even know you
can't,
should have
asked. Yeah, but also that you can't get anywhere else.
Right.
I mean, you know, going onto the web, you know, and I love the web. We have a great website at flmedicaid.com, and it's got a great lot of great information there. But it's still just the web, and it's kind of impersonal. And it's kind of generic in so many ways. But when we do a seminar, I can really drill down and focus on the people that I'm talking with. And it's
a great opportunity. And they can ask their personal questions.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that real-time question is something that they need an answer to right now.
Yep. And if you come to my seminar, which is really cool, you get a free book.
And what is that book?
So I wrote a book, just like Dr. Ravens, which is why I'm so good about it. And see, I think mine's just about the same size as his. Yeah, about exactly the same amount of pages, about 150 pages. And it deals with Medicaid and long-term care, and specifically about how Medicaid can be used to pay for the cost of that care. So
You've come out with a new pamphlet, too.
We have a new, for those people that don't want to read this much.
It's a start. You know, I left a bunch of them in my mail room.
It's no problem. Exactly. This is kind of the cliff notes for the book.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is, if you come to the seminar, you walk away with a free book. Now, if you were to buy this on Amazon, it's going to cost you $20.
Yeah.
So not only do you get to hear me, get your answers to your questions, but you also get a free book.
Well, and you can take the book home quiz. There may be some other questions you have later.
A lot of good stuff.
Or sometimes when you're talking about a serious matter, and this is a serious matter, every other word goes out of your head. You know, like you remember some stuff because it's a serious matter. For instance, well, it's not exactly the same, but when I went to the doctor and the doctor said my mother had cancer, I didn't hear a word after that, what he said.
His brain shut down.
I didn't hear anything.
Yep, I understand.
You know, and then after a while, I knew with my mom, I needed to take somebody with me to the doctor with us because it still was the same way. It's so emotional.
Yep.
It's so emotional.
We have the same thing in our office is that when you're coming in for a consultation, we're going to be discussing this. And the mom says, well, should I bring my daughter? And I'm like, well, yes, absolutely. Not because, mom, you can't necessarily handle this. That's not the point. But the more brains in the room, the better. Because some things that mom may not absorb, the daughter's going to absorb. And together, they'll get a better, more accurate picture of what's going on.
Yeah, and I think it's better, too, if mom and daughter are together. Because they're both hearing it directly from you.
Correct.
Then they can go home and have that conversation.
As opposed to the translating what I said.
Yeah, I went to the lawyer, and this is what he said. And I'm not sure what he said about this. But
yep.
You know, so yeah, that's a really good thing to do. Really good thing to do. So I'm glad that you're here today. Right now we want to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away, and we'll be right back.
TAM Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week, so check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888 478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
We believe the power of the human body and mind can do amazing things, and that tapping into that power, not just tricking it with a temporary disguise, is possible. Superpatch technology uses a special pattern and vibro-tactile technology to help you go from feeling blah to hurrah. Now, once the Superpatch is in contact with your skin, it triggers a neutral response in the brainstem that helps you tackle your daily problems head-on. Whether you're struggling with pain, balance, stress, or focus, we have a solution that might be right for you. With Superpatch's 30-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Hi, this is Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. I started using the Liberty Patch over 3 years ago. I used to be a tripper, but since wearing a Liberty Patch, I haven't tripped once. The Liberty Patch is proven to reduce the risk of falling by up to 8 times. And as we all know, if you prevent the fall, you prevent the call. Don't wait until it's too late. Preventative solutions are the answer.
Superpatch does not claim to diagnose, treat, or cure illness. Superpatch is FDA registered. To receive 25% off your first order, go to sticktoit.info. That's sticktoit.info and learn more.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
And we're back.
And we're
this
back.
There's a problem when I have Sean on this, because we start talking about stuff during intermission. But I want to let you know about some other events that is coming up. Phony Baloney, Sages Theater.
Oh, that's going to be fabulous.
Fabulous. Yes. I worked with Christine a long time ago. We worked together. We used to do Matter of Balance classes together fall prevention and everything.
They have a show about that, actually.
Yeah. So, but the next one is the Phony Baloney, and it's all about scams. And I'm telling you, every single day there's a new scam out there about something. And one of the latest ones I heard is someone calls you up and says, you're going to be home in an hour. I have a delivery. And they come and they bring a beautiful bouquet of flowers and a bottle of wine.
Oh, I like the wine.
And they say, but since we're delivering wine, there's some kind of tax.
Right.
And you need to pay the tax on it only with a credit card.
Right. And they get your information, off they go.
In a snap.
Yeah.
And people think, oh, nobody would like send me flowers and wine and be a scammer. Yeah, because they're going to get a lot more money from your credit card or,
yeah, no kidding,
or for whatever it is. So please be very cautious. And please, just because somebody's delivering something to your house, find out where it came from. And I don't know, just be careful. I hate to say it, but just being, you have to be so careful now about everything.
But the smartest, most, you know, smartest people I know have all been subject to some sort of scam at some point in time. So it's not necessarily that you're not smart enough to deal with this. These scams can be very, very sophisticated, very emotionally attractive in so many ways.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why they work.
Well, you know what? So if those crooks would put their mind to good business, they could be millionaires, probably.
Yeah, every day I get some sort of spam email about either from American Express or from the persons that people that host my website, for example.
Or your Amazon delivery.
Or my Amazon delivery. Or the post office is holding a package for me that they can't deliver. I mean, I get these literally every day, and they're all baloney.
Yeah.
They're phony baloney.
Exactly.
To call it.
So like that's what this show is about, and it's funny, and it's nice because
and
sometimes
the people that do this are fabulous. They're all seniors in our community. They're all like former actors in so many different ways, and they go and they produce these productions that are really, really good. They don't cost a lot of money to go to. They're quality produced.
They're free.
They're free. Like,
well, free to go to. So, and you can go March 16th. St. Patrick's Church in Largo.
Right.
March 23rd at Ruth Eckert Hall.
Yeah, it's going to be Ruth. That's the one that I'm going to.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm going to do the Ruth Eckert version.
I'm so happy for them.
Yeah. Fabulous. Sage, I tell you, they're a great organization. I support them. I have mad support for them, and we donate a lot of funds for them. We believe in them a big time.
Yeah.
Interesting thing is, though, I swear to God, every time I'm out in the community going somewhere, doing something, we were just at Hearts and Hope, for example, and there's got to be a probably almost a half, at least a half a dozen people from Sages with their shirts
especially
on.
Especially Ron Reagan.
They're all over the place. I mean, there's a lot of them.
But you know what it is, too? It gives those seniors a purpose. They get to do something they like to do that they maybe they did when they were younger, acting or whatever, and they get it going. And then they're helping people at the same time.
Yeah.
They're helping them with scams, or they're helping them with fall prevention. There's a new one that's about, it's coming out, I don't know, next year or whatever, about dementia.
Right, yep.
And there's a caregiver advocate in that show that kind of seems like Linda Burhan, who we'll see when the time comes.
She has a radio show. She has this thing. She sings a little bit.
They said she's a little flamboyant. I don't know.
Well, that phony baloney thing. I mean, this is not only is it fun, but it's also very serious. It's co-sponsored by the Largo Police Department.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good thing and a fun thing.
So. Yeah. Same thing with the fall prevention. It helps everybody.
Sounds silly, but wildly entertaining and a lot of fun.
Yeah, and well if you can have a laugh to. With it, yeah. It makes it easier. Once again, Dr. Rabins will be in Florida March 14th in Clearwater. All the information is on my website, lindaburhans.com. If you know already that you want to go, it starts at 10:30. Please RSVP to 727-517-7800. I'm so excited to get to meet him.
It's going
to
be awesome.
It's going to be really good. Thanks so much for being with us today. You know how much I appreciate you guys. I'm here for anything you need. If I don't have the answer, I know someone who does. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day. Mm-hmm.